Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a blessed day today. A lot of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. Absolutely great. I mean, absolutely wonderful. The weather cleared up. It was a little bit rainy today this morning. We got clear blue skies. We got all the chemtrails flushed out of the sky. Energy levels are up. I feel really good, bud. What's your first story?
Good. Well, one of the first ones that I wanted to touch base on here, because this, I've been trying to do a little bit more research on this to figure out what was going on. I found this to be very interesting now. The acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is ICE, the acting director of that, who is Tom Homan, has now basically said that they're looking at trying to charge some of these sanctuary cities with violating federal law now, finally, after California came through and declared they would become a sanctuary state. He said, this is not the America I grew up in. He said, we've got to take these sanctuary cities on, we've got to take them to court, and we have to start changing some of these politicians, charging some of these politicians with crimes. He said they're going to see a lot more special agents and a lot more deportation officers. He said the state of California wants to put politics ahead of public safety, but what they're doing now is forcing my officers to arrest dangerous criminals on their turf and their homes and their place of business rather than arresting them in the safety and security of a county jail. He said there is no sanctuary from federal law enforcement when you break immigration laws. We're going to significantly increase our enforcement presence in California. He said California has bit off more than they can chew, and he said he's working with the Department of Justice now to possibly charge sanctuary officials with a crime for harboring illegal aliens. He said when these sanctuary cities that knowingly shield and blatantly harbor illegal aliens and don't allow us access, that, in my opinion, is a violation of 8 U.S.C. 1324, which is a harboring illegal alien and smuggling statute. He said, I've asked the Department of Justice to look into this. Oh, it's crazy to me. At the same time, they're restricting ammunition from law-abiding citizens, restricting law-abiding citizens from owning any type of legitimate rifles now with the assault weapon ban, with registration, all this stuff. They're blatantly turning around and saying, we're a sanctuary state. Basically, MS-13, gang members, illegals, doesn't matter who you are, you can all flock to California now, and we're essentially a disarmed state. And so basically the director of ICE has said, we've had enough of it, we're not going to allow this to continue to happen, and they're going to start looking at avenues as far as in getting the state to start cooperating. And that's the aspect that I don't understand, is why these guys still get hundreds of millions of dollars a year in federal aid if they're even refusing to follow basic immigration laws, Dad. So we're going to see how this is going to play out. I completely agree with state rights on one hand, but on the other hand, too, if the state is going against the Constitution and is allowing the citizens of that state to essentially be in unsafe areas and not be protected by the constitutional laws, then at that point, in my opinion, the federal government has to step in and protect those citizens, since obviously the state is refusing to do so now.
The state of California, and we talked about this yesterday, is a benchmark for complete and total tyranny in the United States as far as complete rebellion. Yeah. Against anything that's right or good. Right now, LGBT classes are now mandatory for elementary school children in California.
Golly.
California soon will be using textbooks that present the lesbian, gay, bigender, trans, or whatever weirdo thing you want to believe in, themes in an inclusive and respectful manner. These courses are mandatory, will begin with second graders and continue throughout the educational experience. Textbook publishers are scrambling to include as many historical figures as possible about whom have been LGBT speculation. Remember Obama, the Kenyan, and the transgender. Continuous and focused speculation on this issue, especially when it is presented in school and associated with historical figures such as Obama and his transgender wife. They will encourage children to see LGBT as the new American role model, and this is not an unintended consequence. Now, I'm going to say something here very quickly, so don't you guys get hacked off at me again and send me more letters. In fact, pretty much all the people who sent me letters have stopped sending me letters. I'm sure they don't listen anymore, so I'm good for that. But here's the thing. This entire atavistic hatred of all things Christian in the United States has been brought to us by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, a synagogue of Satan, the Luciferians, whatever you want to call them, Sons of Cain, just pick a name, whatever you want to call them. And these guys hate the fact, and remember, Freud was a Sabbatean. Freud hated the fact that the United States was a Christian country. He hated the fact that Europe had Christian values and Christian morals, and he felt as though that Christians shouldn't be the ones to be able to dictate a cultural norm as far as what is good and bad and right and wrong. This is what they're trying to do now. What is bad is good, what is good is bad, to turn everything upside down. It's the same group of people who do this over and over and over and over again because they're serving their master, Lucifer. Now, I know that's hard for people to believe. I got that. And quite frankly, to be honest with you, it's really hard for me to believe. But when I see things like this, that it is now mandatory to teach people that LGBT is cool and good and an alternative lifestyle in, you know, California, it absolutely just blows my mind, Austin, in a very metaphorical, figurative sense, that this is something that we have accepted and the California people are not absolutely stone cold infuriated, so mad that they're ready to start screaming from the rooftops. I mean, with the MS-13 gangs coming in, with unbridled restriction now, absolutely, they're completely ignoring all immigration laws from the federal government. Now remember, guys, the problem with that is this. When they come in through Mexico into California and they bring them into the sanctuary state, which is what this is, California encompasses almost the entire western seaboard besides Oregon and Seattle. So what ends up happening is this entire group of people now is able to come in and do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and get them to leave the United States, that they can leave California and go into the United States uninterrupted. So what I'm saying is there's no longer a border for them to cross when they come into the United States. Once they're in California, there are no border checkpoints. So when they're a sanctuary, you know, state, they can literally dictate how many people are going to be allowed into the United States of America by opening those borders into the United States and allowing all of these illegals, MS-13 gangs, to pour through the California border throughout the entire western states. That's the problem that we have right now with this state. This state has gone rogue on us, and it should be forced to obey the laws of the United States of America as far as immigration policy. And I cannot believe that Trump has not cut off all of their funding, Austin.
If he has to,
I have too. I'm really been curious about that because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll put the argument down. They'll say, well, you know, this is kind of similar back to the Civil War and what the Southern states were. I said, no. I said, this is not at all. I said, the aspect of what you're dealing with now is you're dealing with an issue that is going to migrate into the rest of the United States, negatively affecting almost every single facet of our lives, all the way from highways to school systems to health care to law enforcement, everything. Because now that California has blatantly said now, as of January 1st, we are a sanctuary state. Where that, you don't, doesn't matter if you come in through the border, doesn't matter if you jump over the wall, doesn't matter if you swim here, doesn't matter what you do. If you come into this state, we will not kick you out. You're welcome to come here. They are going to see another mass migration that we have seen for the last couple of years, similar to what we saw in Europe over the last 2 years with the Muslims pouring into California this year now. And Dad, what you said was so clear. Once they get into California, once California starts allowing them and recognizes them as basically American citizens, which that will be next, they'll next start saying, well, if you've been here for a year and a day, we're going to recognize you as a California citizen, and we're going to give you a green card or a driver's license or whatnot. And at that point, they can leave California lawfully, essentially, and drive through the rest of the country and progress wherever they want. This is something that's going to get out of control so quickly, and as we've said before, California is the template, the beta test for what the globalists want to do to the rest of the country. And the problem is California has such a big footprint with not only population density, but with size of the overall state and a lot of the exports they do into the rest of the United States with a lot of their foods and stuff. This is going to negatively affect us. And what you were saying now, Dad, with the LGBT community, we also see now that the federal court now has now prohibited the Pentagon from denying prospective recruits on the basis of being transgender. What was an act of judicial overreach that ignored the legitimate questions President Trump understood when he barred transgender troops, said Center for Security Policy President Frankie Gaffney. He said, the reality is this is the end of the United States military as we know it, he said, describing federal and appellate courts are now usurping the president's role as commander-in-chief of the military with the mentioned court order. He said the admission of transgender persons in the military, said Gaffney, will compromise the entire military readiness. Pollock pointed the inconsistency between permitting persons afflicted with transgenderism to enlist in the military amidst a range of medical problems continuing to be considered disqualifiers for military enlistment. Transgenderism was listed as a mental disorder within the DSM-5 under the name gender identity disorder. Actually, it was turned, it changed into a name, gender dysmorphia. And so they blatantly recognize this as a mental disorder. You have gender dysmorphia. There's no question about it. It's in the DSM-5. They've talked about it for years. It's very clear-cut evidence that this is a mental disorder. But what's the crazy part is if you go in the military and you're too overweight, they won't let you in. If you're not mentally competent, they won't let you in. If you have some type of military defect as far as autism or Down syndrome, they don't let you in. If you've been on Adderall or Ritalin or some type of scheduled drug, even if it's legal for an extended period of time, they won't let you in. If you've had broken bones, a lot of times they won't let you in unless they can verify everything. Dental issues, tattoos in certain areas. The list goes on
implant,
and on and on.
Metal, yeah.
Implants, yeah, implants. So they're saying now that all that is null and void if you're basically transgender, which is blatantly a mental disorder by the DSM-5, we're still going to allow you to come in. And the issue isn't just allowing somebody that's mentally defective to come into the military. The aspect is of now, what they've already blatantly said is that they're going to provide medical support for them for whatever they need, whether it's hormone replacement therapy, whether it's surgery. The issue I have with this is there's no other medical condition known to demand that the military will knowingly accept you into the military, knowing that they have to fix that problem on you before you enlist or you go into officer candidate school. There are none. If you go and you apply to the military and you say, hey, right now I have a knee problem, my knee's shot, I have to get full knee replacement surgery, completely knee replacement surgery. Can't walk, can't run, can't do anything. But I want to enlist. As soon as I enlist, you guys go ahead and pay for it, and then I'll be an incredibly good recruit. I'll be a private. I'll do whatever I need. They're going to say, no, thank you. You can go somewhere else. We don't need your problem. Every single time. When I went into officer candidate school in the Marine Corps back in 2008, first thing they were concerned about, do I have any tattoos? I said, no, I don't have tattoos. Not a big fan of them. They said, okay, do you have any broken bones or any hardware in your body? I said, yes. I shattered my ankle when I used to race motocross when I was 15, and I had 6 screws and a plate put in my left ankle. However, I had the hardware taken out a year later because I was having issues with it after the bone hardened up. They said, okay, well, before we can go any further with you in the OCS program, we need full write-up from the doctor, including x-rays showing before and after, pre as far as the injury with the break, post-surgery with the implants, and post-removal of the implants, all those x-rays, including a write-up from the doctor basically stating you no longer have those implants in your body. It was a nightmare just to get that done. That was just for one single broken bone. But now we're going to say you can be fully mentally defective, have a mental disorder listed in the DSM-5 as basically you don't know what gender you are, yet we're going to take you in and we're going to pay for all of your medical issues to fix them. This boggles my mind that this is continuing to go through and that the commander-in-chief, i.e. President Trump, has not completely overruled this, because as far as I thought with the military, especially when it comes to military readiness or national security, I thought Trump would have the final say and overstepping bounds if he had to be able to prevent this from happening, Dad, but I guess not with these appellate courts and what they're trying to do now.
He has the ability. We may have to run it through the Supreme Court. Now, what's interesting also, Austin, remember, they told you if you had tattoos as a military candidate for officer school for the Marines, you couldn't go in. No, couldn't go in.
Correct.
You can't go in with tattoos. You can't go in with a plate or a screw in your body. You can't even go in with dental implants. Period. You can't go in.
Yep.
And then I remember you had that you did that wheelie on your motorcycle, and you got busted for that by a police officer when you were like 18 years old, and they wanted you to do a full – you had to do a full write-up explaining why you got busted for dueling a wheelie and why you would never do a wheelie again on a motorcycle. I mean, it was unbelievably hard to get into the officer candidate school for the Marine Corps, which you qualified for, and they wanted all of this verification. But now you can go in and say, I want to be an officer candidate Marine Corps. Are you a man or a woman? I don't know today. I kind of feel like a girl. Haven't seen if I want to wear any makeup today, but I want to be a military officer in the Marine Corps. Okay, you're in. Come on down. And that's what they're doing, son. It's the most ridiculous thing, how we have completely compromised our military. It's ridiculous. By the way, the professor who asked for a white genocide for Christmas last year has now resigned. You know, I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. They wanted a white genocide for Christmas was his request, and he is no longer a professor. This is George Maher, professor at Drexel University in Pennsylvania, is resigning after continued public pressure over his tweet last year wishing for a white genocide for Christmas. In other words, he didn't want a white Christmas. He wanted all white people dead. Since then, he criticized the man for giving up his first-class airline seat to a uniformed soldier, blamed the white supremacist patriarchy for the shooting in Las Vegas, and criticized liberals for not talking about who kills you. Wait a minute. Incredible cries, liberals for not talking about who kills you. This is going to be white people killing you. No, Democrats kill almost everybody, buckwheat. Look who the doggone people are doing these shootings. Look at the nutbags. Look at all the killings in Chicago and all the killings in Detroit and all the killings in Baltimore. It's all the Democrats over 90% of the time. We've got to understand who's doing this. This guy's now he's calling on tenured professors to defend against white supremacists and to help expand Antifa on campus. I mean, unbelievable. And remember, he was not dismissed. He resigned. You know, he wasn't fired by the university. And so this absolutely is amazing to me, Austin, that we think that this can continue to go on. I mean, if I ask for a Hispanic genocide for Christmas or a black genocide for Christmas or a Japanese genocide for Christmas or a Chinese genocide for Christmas, you guys would all think I was loony and I completely lost it. But he really believes that he had to have a white genocide, kill all the white people. Somebody's dropped these people on their heads when they were little. There's absolutely no way these guys can have any kind of brain function to think this is actually okay to say, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're right. I'm glad to see that guy's gone now. But when you start blatantly calling out for certain races to be completely wiped off the planet with essentially just genocide, it boggles my mind that these guys actually get away with it. And I mean, yes, I understand we have the freedom of speech, which it's funny how it goes one way with a lot of these liberal leftists. Yeah. They want to say whatever they want about anybody, be unbelievably disrespectful, be unbelievably derogatory, even talk violence and death towards other races, like this guy for an example. But then if you say anything that even slightly offends them or goes against the grain with them, they flip out and say, you can't say that. That's banned talk. That's talk. You can't say that. That's verboten. Like the video I talked to you about where Crowder was discussing the transgender issue, two genders with the one girl, and she goes, well, if you don't call me by my pronoun that I ask for, and you deliberately call me a different pronoun, you're committing an act of violence against me. And he goes, an act of violence? He goes, I'm simply talking to you right now. She goes, well, if you don't call me the pronoun I demand, you're committing violence towards me. And he goes, so I'm committing a crime now if I don't call you by your made-up pronoun? He goes, okay, fine. I'll ask the next question then. How many pronouns are there? And she goes, well, I don't know. He goes, so we have an unlimited amount of pronouns that are produced every day out of thin air that nobody can account for, and if I don't call you by one of those that you demand, I'm committed an act of violence. He goes, do you see the irony you're talking about here? And this is exactly what these liberals have done now with the entire aspect through college, through the younger school systems, all the way into the government, now, all the way to the military now, where you have to follow the lines, you have to follow the narrative that they tell you to. If not, essentially, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a hate monger, you're this, you're that, you're that. But as soon as they do something, it's completely off the books, and there's no issue at all with it. Also, in other news, too, I wanted to talk about this, too, today. The Labor Department, Trump's administration is looking to bring back and broaden the rule that Congress killed last year requiring drug testing for unemployment benefits. The Republicans in March repealed an Obama-era rule that limited the ability of states to drug test people applying for unemployment pay. Republicans said the 2016 rule was too narrow because it only allowed states to drug test people whose occupations already regularly required it. It said now the Labor Department has signaled it plans to issue a broader rule that will redefine which occupations they should drug test for. Doug Holmes, who's president of the Strategic Services on Unemployment and Workers' Compensation, however, said if people have an expectation of being paid unemployment benefits under the federal statute, they need to make themselves available and able to work, and doing so means passing a drug test. He said, this is an insurance program. This is not public assistance. An individual has to be available and ready to work. If they are not available and able to work week by week by week, then they don't meet the requirements to be paid unemployment compensation benefits. If an individual has a significant problem that renders him or her unavailable to work, the appropriate response is to refer them to a place to get help. They should not be paid unemployment benefits at that point. Only three states, Texas, Mississippi, and Wisconsin, have passed laws to allow drug testing for their unemployment insurance programs. According to the announcement in the regulatory agenda, the Labor Department is hoping to release a proposed rule in June. And if the states are handling this, I don't have a bit of problem. I've gotten a lot of flack in the past when I've talked about this before. And the issue I have about it is, if you're taking taxpayer funds and you're giving them to people because they can't physically work, or they're trying to find a job and they've been fired and they're trying to do stuff right now, and you're sitting there saying, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter your lifestyle, it doesn't matter what illicit drugs you use on a regular basis, you can just live off unemployment for as long as you physically can. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a serious issue with that. And if you're trying to find a job, if you're in the field that requires drug testing at some point in time, being able to pass a drug test while you're essentially getting money from the state until you find another job, I don't have a bit of problem with that. A lot of people think that's overreaching government intrusion, which in one aspect I can see how you would think that, but on the other aspect too, you're not entitled to that money. People have this sense now that you lost your job and I'm trying to get unemployment, you're automatically entitled to free money. It is not free money. Somebody is paying for it. Somebody's paying taxes on it. Somebody's working 40, 50, 60 hours a week for that money so they can pay it into the state, so the state can then pay it to you while you look for a job. And if that means you need to pass a drug test while you're getting unemployment benefits, I don't have a single problem with that at all, Dad.
I couldn't have said it any better. I know in the state of Florida, I know how it works here. If we have a person who we fire or we have to lay off and they qualify for unemployment assistance, you know, it's counted against us in the amount of rates they charge us to pay into this fund every single month. In other words, they raise our rates. And so we have to pay more as a company, as a corporation, every single month to the unemployment compensation fund to allow these people to stay on this, which kind of is crazy to me that they can go out and stay stoned the entire time they're on unemployment compensation insurance funds from the state and basically being underwritten by the doggone the employers themselves. By the way, Clinton's allies have now paid, and it's been shown to have paid, $700,000 for women to accuse Trump just before the election. The New York Times reports too that two Hillary supporters paid women to accuse Donald Trump of sexual harassment during the 2016 presidential campaign. Lisa Bloom, a daughter of a feminist attorney, Gloria Aldred, another feminist, I'm sure she's an LGBT lover, represented the women who accused Trump and who were given a total of $700,000 for expenses. Donald Brock, co-founder with George Soros of Media Matters, gave $200,000, and longtime Hillary friend and fashion entrepreneur Susie Tompkins Buell paid $500,000 to fund accusers procured by Mrs. Bloom. I mean, you know, guys, why these people are not in jail, why these people think that this is okay, why these people are continuing to walk the streets and get away with stuff like this, absolutely is mind-boggling to me, Austin. If Trump's going to clean up the swamp, he really needs to go and start doing some internal cleansing up there in Washington, D.C., and stop a lot of this mess on who's doing what to whom, and stop all these unwarranted accusations against people that they have to defend after they've made the accusation. Give you an example. If someone sues so-and-so in the United States, it's up to the person who's being sued to defend themselves. And in the event that person who's suing loses the lawsuit, the person is not reimbursed for the funds that had been sued. We need tort reform in Europe. If you sue somebody, let's say for instance you get an automobile accident and you say you're hurt and you're really not hurt and you're faking it, and you sue somebody and you lose the lawsuit, you have to reimburse the person you sued for all of their legal fees. That's what we need in the United States. And once we do that, Austin, that will stop all of this slip and fall attorney nonsense that's going on around the country, yep, where people are just trying to get money for nothing because they got bumped in the rear end and nobody got hurt, but they were going to pretend like they're hurt now and they want a big cash settlement. And it's funny to me how so many of these people who sue people are habitual suers, and they're sewers, that sounds funny, habitual people who sue, and they end up doing it over and over and over again I know of a couple here in Florida that I can't say they're my friends, but I know of them. I know them, actually, I knew them quite well. And every time the woman got another job, she found something to suit the new owner of the company over or the new job holder for. And I remember one time she pulled a vase off a shelf working for the Salvation Army. Kid you not, this is not made up. Pulled a vase off a shelf by her own error. The vase hit her on the foot and bruised her foot, and she sued the Salvation Army. Now, quite frankly, I don't know how low goes, but that's pretty doggone low, Austin. So that's kind of stuff that needs to be fixed. What do you think?
It's the sad part. I know exactly what you're talking about with that. And you
am I telling
some
the truth?
People that
am I
story.
The truth?
No, that was dead spot on. You tell some people that story, and they go, no, nobody would sue the Salvation Army. And you go, well, yeah, actually, they would.
And they did.
It's really sad. But anyways, in other news as well, I wanted to bring a health article up here. This is involving eggs. I had an email the other day that I actually was going to respond to today about an individual that is trying to actually raise her cholesterol. Her cholesterol has been overtly low for an extended period of time. She's never been on any statins, but she's always had lower cholesterol. And she said that she started eating eggs, and it really hasn't helped a whole lot. And the next thing you have to start looking into is increasing more fats. Eggs are incredibly good, which I'm going to get to in this article in a second. But you also need to start throwing in a variety of different fats, including avocados, olive oil, coconut oil, or the MCT oil like we carry. Also throw in the Body Balance Himla along with the cod liver oil. Those are a few things that you can start throwing into your diet. And I know Dad would touch base on that. What are some other good ones, Dad, for somebody that's trying to increase their actual overall cholesterol because it's too low?
I would probably start eating more beef. I mean, I can't recommend pork because it's so unhealthy for you. I'd also recommend salmon. But salmon is only going to help elevate your good HDL. I mean, but the beef can help bring it up. And then maybe a liver function too, Austin. She may need to be on liver support because, you know, the body manufactures cholesterol in large amounts, a lot more than we eat. And there is something maybe going on with certain liver enzymes and certain pathways in the liver. So I'd probably put her on liver support and cod liver oil and see if we can get something figured out with that, because she's absolutely right. If she doesn't have her cholesterol levels high enough, she simply won't have the supportive cholesterol in her body to manufacture the hormones, et cetera, that she needs to stay healthy. So it could be a major problem. By the way, America's vaccine war now. Will negative news turn on Gardasil and turn the tide for Gardasil in 2018? The mainstream media continues its censorship on Gardasil. For years now, the mainstream media has censored almost any negative information regarding vaccines in general and Gardasil in particular. Gardasil, the HPV vaccine produced by Merck, a huge moneymaker, and any negative press that documents that lives are being destroyed by this vaccine end up affecting the total sales. Robert F. Kennedy has publicly stated that 70% of mainstream media news advertising revenues during non-election years are funded by pharmaceutical companies. So it's easy to understand the probable reason why the standard of rules of investigative journalism are not utilized when reporting vaccine issues, particularly Gardasil. Guys, Gardasil causes all kinds of problems with strokes and death and also premature ovarian failure, which is another name for menopause. They don't want to call it menopause. They wanted to say you're having premature ovarian failure, which means you're in menopause and you're 16 years old because of this wretched shot, or you're paralyzed, or you die, or you go into convulsions or seizures, or you have a feeling of malaise the rest of your life and you have no energy and feel horrible, all because of this shot. And even the manufacturer, the researcher who had worked with the main company producing it, said in one of her major articles and also in a convention a few years ago, it doesn't work. And it causes all of these side effects, and she's even turned against us. So guys, just be really careful with these vaccines with kids. It's like I told somebody the other day, we were over talking to him about vaccines, and we were talking to him about, you know, the side effects, and I said, look, I said, why don't you do this with kids? If you don't have to put a kid in school until they're 5 years old, and if you don't have a vaccine exemption available for you in the school system, why don't you wait until the kid's 4 years old before you do any vaccines? Hello, why don't we try it that way after their immune systems are more able to handle it? Now, I don't recommend doing that at all, but that's an opportunity for that person to have 4 years of doing more and more research, Austin, on why they shouldn't be vaccinating those children and those babies. And if they can have enough information put into their heads, in some cases, they can reason through it and decide, well, maybe this is just not something that I want to do. By the way, caloric restriction is now being shown to help reverse type 2 diabetes. Guys, If you're type 2 diabetic and you're taking in 6,000 or 8,000 calories a day and you're really overweight, there's a really high probability you cut back on those calories and you lose a bunch of that weight and you get healthy. You're going to end up not being diabetic anymore. Yeah, newsflash, this is kind of like a redundant story as far as what you should be able to know already. But guys, it's really important that people understand that your health is directly dependent on your lifestyle choices and your dietary intake and the quality of the food you put into your body. And if you're living on all this junk, if you're living on pizza and pasta and rice and potatoes and dairy and bread, and that's all you eat, and you're a 50, 60, 100, 200 pounds, 300 pounds overweight, and you're type 2 diabetic, newsflash, if you reduce the caloric intake, your body will probably start to be able to use that insulin a whole lot better, and you won't need to require that much insulin, and you'll start hemorrhaging weight, you'll start burning all that body fat. Really important to eat clean and be healthy, and that's what we cover in Sharon's new cookbook. So this is old news, but also remember, if you do have a problem with type 2 diabetes and your body is not overweight, turmeric, the insulin support, the potassium iodine, and the cod liver oil, and the cinnamon extract all work very, very well in helping your body to utilize the insulin that it already has to help it into the cell wall to avoid you going into full-blown diabetes. In fact, in the Journal of the American of the Indian Diabetic Association, they said that turmeric by itself will prevent 100% of people who are normal blood sugar from going into type 2 diabetes by itself with nothing else. So that's a pretty strong statement. So guys, there's all kinds of things that you can do from a natural standpoint to bring your sugar down, to bring your cholesterol down, to bring your blood chemistry back into line. A lot of it's really, really easy to do. And if you don't understand that, give us a call at the office and we'll try to walk you through it, Austin. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we have the turmeric force, that formula, in our blood sugar protocol that we have on the website that's actually on sale right now for over 10% off. That's a huge kit as far as people get great results with it. And what we also talk about is what Dad was just saying, is we also reduce calories in there alongside with the supplements. We give you a whole protocol, like a 2-page protocol along with the supplements of dietary change that need to be followed. And that's what a lot of people, once they get that idea in their head that what you're putting in your body, the supplements you're taking, the food you're ingesting can directly affect your life, whether positively or negatively, it's kind of an eye-opener. You start realizing, okay, that putting that food in my body has a side effect. And it's funny because you talk to some people and they're like, oh, no, I never touch alcohol. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's an argument. But then you turn around and you see them at the dinner, and they're eating, you know, what, a big blooming onion from Outback Steakhouse, which is like 2,900 calories of deep-fat fried onions. And that's their appetizer. The next thing they have is big old mashed potatoes and gravy with some other fried dinner. And you go, okay, you're sitting there saying you don't drink alcohol because it's not healthy for you, because it's not. But then you're taking in 2,000, 3,000 calories, 4,000 calories in one meal, and you wonder why you're having issues with cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, all this stuff. Look at what you're putting in your body. It's a perfect analogy of fuel that you put in your car. You wouldn't go buy a $200,000-$300,000 Ferrari or Porsche or Lamborghini and go buy the cheapest 84-85 octane Bobo fuel that's on the backside of the garage, that's been sitting there for a year letting the ethanol separate. And you go, well, is that the cheapest fuel you guys have? Yes, the cheapest fuel we have. We're actually going to throw it out or donate because it's so bad. Well, if that's the cheapest one, that's the one I want in my Ferrari. I'm not putting any more expensive gas in this car. It doesn't deserve it at all. And then you start the car up and it shuts down and it doesn't run properly. And you go, I don't know why my car's not running. I don't know why it breaks down every week. Maybe it's the fuel you're putting in your body. Too many times people go to the doctor and go, I don't know why I feel horrible. I don't know why my blood pressure's out of whack. I don't know why I'm getting diabetes. And then they don't bother to look at the fuel they're putting in their body on a regular basis. That story I was just talking about with eggs, according to a recent study now, they're showing that individuals who eat at least 18 grams of protein from whole organic eggs versus egg whites following resistance exercise build protein in their muscles more efficiently. This is more for the adults and kids and teenagers that are working out, trying to get in good shape. It's referring to protein synthesis, and it talks, and I've always referred this to people, you need at least about 15 to 20 grams of protein right after your workout. Eggs are an incredibly good protein for that. And they said the post-workout muscle-building response in those who consumed whole eggs was 40% greater than those who simply ate just the egg whites. Nicholas Bird at the University of Illinois spearheaded this study and explained how the egg yolks also have protein, key ingredients, and other food and nutrient components that are lacking in just straight egg whites. And these yolks even contain something that boosts the body's ability to utilize the protein in the muscles. So when the researchers directly measured protein synthesis in the muscle, they explained that after the participants ate the whole eggs after the resistance exercise, there was a greater muscle protein synthesis compared to simply eating the egg whites. That's why I always tell people, if you're going to eat eggs, eat whole organic eggs. Egg whites are really not something you want to take in large quantities. The only time I've ever done that is when I've been getting ready for a bodybuilding show or something in the past, and you're already eating a large amount of fats from avocados, from ground beef, from whole eggs, and you need to add extra protein in. But that's not something I recommend for normal people whatsoever. Your blood urea gets too high, and you're taking in way too much protein. It's not healthy for the heart. As you guys already know, I have found out the hard way. So that's just one aspect of it. So eat the whole eggs. Good cholesterol. Organic whole eggs are one of the best things you can do as far as good, healthy, absorbable protein on a regular basis, especially when you're working out and trying to stay in good shape, Dad.
Protein efficiency ratio is the highest among eggs. I remember, I've had people who have helped. In fact, I know one guy, he has his own talk show. And, he doesn't do anything he says to do. He's a health guy. He's a medical doctor, and he doesn't follow anything. He uses sucralose, he eats egg whites, and takes steroids. And I mean, the guy's unbelievable. I mean, he runs his mouth on the radio like he's a health guy. He's not. And I know. And one time I told him, I said, "Dude, I said, how can you even get on the radio and talk about this stuff and be so two-faced? Oh, they don't know. I don't know. I do." All this. I said, "But it doesn't matter whether they know you do this or not. You know you do this. I mean, this isn't cool, man. It's not okay." And, of course, his radio show is awful. He's awful on radio. It's terrible. But the problem is he's not convicted. It's like a Christian going out and doing all kinds of sin and doing all kinds of crazy stuff on an ongoing basis every single day in front of everybody yelling around they're saved. I remember years ago I had a guy come over to the house and had his father with him. And this kid was like in his 30s and was a man. And he just started yelling and screaming and cussing at his father. And I looked at him. I said, "Dude, you call yourself a Christian?" I said, "You show this type of disrespect to your father?" I said, "On top of that," I said, "listen to your language." I said, "You claim to be a Christian and a believer?" I said, "This is not it. You know," I said, "how can salt water and fresh water flow from the same spring?" I said, "You got to think about what you're doing." So it's really, really important that we practice what we preach, especially if we're in the health industry. Now, protein efficiency ratio with eggs is the best. I had a kid who worked out with me. His name was Noah up in North Carolina a few months back, and he was working out. Every time I'd see him in the gym, he had made no gains at all. And I've been going up there for about 6 months. And finally, I told him, I said, "Let me show you a chest workout that will give you 4 inches on your chest in 6 months." He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, 4 inches in 6 months. If you're a 36 chest now, you'll have a 40 chest in 6 months. I said, "But what you have to do, since you're not going to," he didn't have a lot of money. I said, "What you have to do, you have to make sure you eat at least 6 organic eggs every single day after you work out." And I said, "That's a minimum. If you eat a dozen, eat a dozen." I said, "Because if you're not going to be able to buy protein powders," I said, "you got to eat good, high-quality protein." He looked at me kind of funny. I was like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, really." I said, "If you're going to train hard and you're going to be a bodybuilder and you have to have the lean protein and the muscle, you have to have muscle-building protein in your diet. And without it, you can train really, really hard, but the muscles can't repair themselves properly, and they're not going to get bigger. It just doesn't work that way." Now, let me ask you another question, Austin. Remember the... we have a picture in the hallway from the racehorse Secretariat. I know, I'm sure you've seen it before over the years.
Yeah.
And Secretariat's one of my favorite horses because the Secretariat won the Triple Crown. Incredibly, he ran the Preakness, the Belmont, and the Kentucky Derby. Won all three of them. I think it was in 1973. And I think we've had one Kentucky Derby winner, maybe two more since then in the last 50, 60 years. And now you say, why are we talking about Secretariat? Okay, well, I've never bet on the horses, but I like watching them run. I like watching them run because I just love animals that are that conditioned. Now, here's the thing, and here's why I'm talking about Secretariat. Let's say Secretariat's already run two of the Triple Crown or Triumph Crown races, and I think the Belmont's the last one. But it may be the Preakness, I don't know. But he's about to win the Triple Crown. He's got one more race to go. So you're so excited with Secretariat, you take him out the night before and get him drunk. You get him a bunch of beer, you get him a bunch of booze, you feed him a bunch of junk food to make sure you can get all the junk you want because you have a big celebration. You think, okay, now it's just Secretariat. We want you to run this last race and win the Triple Crown. Now, Secretariat shows up, he's hungover. Secretariat feels awful. Secretariat's got a headache. He's got a horse-sized headache. He feels bad, and he runs out there and gets last place in the race. You think, why in the world did that happen? And, Ted, you would never do that. You would never take a racehorse worth that kind of money who could get that kind of stud fees for the rest of its life, you know, in pasture, who would basically be this incredible animal. You would never feed it junk food and expect it to perform.
Why do you think you could perform on junk food? Why do you think your children can perform on junk food? Are you not worth more than horses or cows or dogs? I know people who would never give any junk to their horse or their animals, but they eat junk all day. Think through what I'm saying. Are you not more valuable than this? The problem is your health was given to you at birth as standard equipment in most cases, and a lot of us take it for granted. We just let it go. We keep thinking that our body can do whatever it did when we were 18, 19 years old, keep pushing ourselves, drink another cup of coffee, you know, keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And then what ends up happening is your body gives out. Your body shuts down. You have a heart attack. You end up with a stroke. You end up collapsing from adrenal fatigue. And you're like, what the heck happened, man? Well, you went out and got drunk every night. All you lived on was pretzels and beer for 6 months, and you wonder why your body shut down. You can't do that. You got to learn to eat clean all of the time and be very careful what you put in your body. You've got to pretend like every day you're Secretariat and every day you're fixing a run for the Triple Crown. That's how you have to treat yourself. That's how you have to eat, and that's how you have to live if you want optimal health and optimal nutrition every single day of your life, Austin. I really believe that.
Excellent analogy, and you're absolutely right about that. And just going to the same article, there's an article here from Shireen Lehman. She wrote on here now about an article they've been talking about how regular carry-out meals have been linked to higher body and blood fat in kids. They said in adults, regular consumption of carry-out meals, which they're basically calling this as fast food meals, is associated with higher risk of obesity, coronary heart disease, and type 2 diabetes, but little is known about the effects it may be having on children's health. So they said that they did a research study on here, and the study of 9 and 10-year-olds, the kids who ate carry-out most often also consumed more calories but fewer vitamins and minerals compared with kids who rarely or never ate carry-out food. They said the children who ate restaurant carry-out or takeaway meals once a week or more tend to have extra body fat and long-term risk factors for heart disease, suggests the study. They also went on to say that takeaway meals are increasing, as is consumption, with more than half of teenagers reporting eating takeaway meals at least twice per week. The researchers analyzed data from the Child Health and Health Study in England. Participants included about 2,000 kids ages 9 to 10 years old at 85 primary schools in the cities. So what they wanted to see was what the effects were, and they found that almost every single time the kids that were eating more fast food more often, which was on regular, was about 2 to 3 times a week, all had higher body fat composition levels, meaning they carried more body fat and their muscle tissue as far as growth and their body composition was not as good as the children that ate no fast food. As well, they also, when they did blood tests, they found out that the children's cholesterol was also out of whack, which that's here or near there in some aspects with children, because a lot of times that can vary. But when you have a kid that's eating cheeseburgers and french fries and fried chicken 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, you're going to have a negative impact on their cholesterol and their overall health. But I thought that was interesting that they did this study now, and they're finding that not only is this increasing as far as how many kids are eating fast food, but they're now directly linking this to higher body weight and higher body fat stores in these children, which, surprise, surprise, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But for some people, they need to see research like that to really understand the harmful long-term effects of eating fast food on a regular basis like that and what it does to your body.
Kids are getting sicker and fatter. And the problem is, it's even when you show a lot of this research to people, Austin, they don't believe it. They simply don't believe it. I mean, I have taken double-blind clinical research studies on autism and a bunch of other articles that we've read and shown people, brain autopsy slides, all of this stuff, and I've given it to people about autism and children's immunizations, and they don't listen. It's like the veil's over their eyes. And I mean, you know, and we talked about that years ago. We had a young fellow in the gym working out with me that and he's a good friend of the family, still is. And he basically just doesn't get it. I mean, we sent him literally 100 articles and he just doesn't get it. He's not convicted. See, it's like trying to get somebody to become a Christian. Either you understand who Jesus Christ is or you don't. Or you understand, you know, what a multidimensional universe is, or you try to understand what it is, or you don't know, or you don't want to know, or you don't care. And see, it's the same thing with health. A lot of people don't want to know because it means they can't have their double bacon cheeseburgers 4 times a day. I mean, they don't want to hear about that because that's not what they want to eat. They want to eat something that they want to eat that's going to tickle their taste buds. Oh, by the way, here we go, Sweden again. More girls have been gang raped. This time the girl actually had her private parts set on fire with lighter fluid after they raped her. This is the last month, 17-year-old girl was sexually abused in a playground in the district of Sollefteå, according to the Swedish newspaper. Sollefteå is a neighborhood in Malmö with large numbers of non-Western immigrants, okay, and high crime rates. The still unknown perpetrator said to have raped the 17-year-old girl in an extremely brutal manner, and then they poured flammable liquid in her lap and set her on fire, causing injuries to her private parts. The girl was later taken to the hospital. This has been going on in Sweden over and over and over again. One of the alleged perpetrators is now arrested and could be convicted by means of a surveillance camera. The police investigated all directions and also used a special search dogs. The dogs are not ordinary detection dogs. They are specially trained on the blood and semen smell, and they could help investigate the perpetrators. I mean, this has gotten so bad in Sweden, Austin. Now are they not just raping the girls in Sweden. They are basically lighting them on fire after their rape. Almost impossible to believe this, and that Sweden is continuing to tolerate this. And so it's kind of crazy when you stop and think about it. But guys, this is what's going on in other parts of the world, and don't let them kid you. We've already had multiple people killed already in Chicago, in Detroit, in Baltimore, right now, even a couple days into the new year. This is a major problem all over the planet, and bringing in these hordes of migrant, barbaric immigrants doesn't help any culture, Austin. I agree with that German politician who got censored because she said that. What do you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, they just did a new research study in Germany from 2015 to 2016. According to the university criminologist study, they said migrants are responsible for a 92% increase in reported violent crimes over a one-year span now. They did it from Zurich University, and they found the same thing we've said before. Not only have they literally doubled the crime rate since they came in, they said less than 20% of the migrants that have come into Germany over the last 2 years have been female. This is what we tried to tell everybody and warn everybody about in 2015, almost 3 years ago now, when this really took off. Everybody at first said they need help. These families are trying to get out of Syria. They're trying to get out of the Middle East. They need help. Their mothers, their children, they need help. They'd show photos on CNN of the few photos they had of a female with a couple children in the Middle East. And they blast that online and say, don't you want to help these guys? You should be ashamed of yourself for not wanting to bring these guys in there. So everybody said, okay, bring them in. Let them come in. We'll welcome them with open arms. Except they found that about 80% of the individuals coming in were young, late teenager, early 20-year-old males that were of fighting age. Those are the majority. 80% of the people that came into Germany over that time period were that demographic, and they wonder why everything is completely collapsed as far as the safety and the overall morals and ethics in that country over what they already were, to the point now they have to cordon off areas for New Year's Eve parties now for females only. They do not allow anybody else to come in there because of what happened in Cologne in 2015. This is what they wanted with this diversity. This is what the globalists want to do throughout the entire world now. They want to pit the Muslims against the Christians to start this massive war that they've been dreaming about, and they're doing a very good job over in Europe. They're trying to do it here in the United States, up in Minnesota and Michigan and those areas up there. And like Dearborn, where you can't, literally it's Muslim population now. There are areas in Dearborn you really can't even go if you're a white male or even a black male or Hispanic male. If you're not Muslim, they'll knife you, they'll shoot you, they'll beat you up there right now in the United States. So yeah, Dad, that's exactly what's going on.
Massive, barbaric, gang raping hordes. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that as far as a description. It doesn't get any better than that. Baltimore murder rate spikes from the lack of police presence. I just said this a moment ago. Now I'm qualifying it, quantifying it. In the week, the final week of 2017, Baltimore, in the final week of 2017, the week, 1 week, Baltimore reported a total of 340 homicides. The murder rate has skyrocketed. I'm sure it's for the entire year. I hope it's for the entire year. The murder rate has skyrocketed since members of Black Lives Matter began justifying violence as retaliation against law enforcement for the death of Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old black man who died in back of a police van in 2015. Residents are now blaming the murder spike on the lack of police action in the city, which is what Black Lives Matter called for.
I mean, this is crazy. And then final week, and it was 343 kids, people dying in the year in Baltimore, which is going to be behind Detroit and Chicago. But the sad part about this, Austin, is this is hundreds of people dead. Hundreds of people dead. For what reason? Only because they're out there killing people as vengeance killings, or because they're raping people, or they're murdering people, or they're basically stealing and robbing from people and then taking things from these people. And guys, and this is why I want to share again with you, the majority of these types of crimes in Detroit, in Chicago, and in Baltimore are black on black. And guys, this isn't okay. You know, this, the black, what we have done with the Great Society program to the black culture is criminal. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, Ted? Before the 60s, before Lyndon Baines Johnson, that great Democrat of just, God, I couldn't stand that guy. I'm trying not to say anything really negative about him. What he did by giving us this Great Society program and this unending welfare with some of these people for the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I mean, we're talking 50, 60, 70 years now on welfare, generation after generation after generation, with dads not knowing who their kids are, kids not knowing who their dads are, mothers having 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 kids and getting welfare and child support for all of these kids. I mean, it's unbelievable how they destroyed the black culture. Before this happened with Lyndon Baines Johnson, this wasn't an issue like this in the black communities. The black communities still had their men. These men went to church on a regular basis. These men went to church on a regular basis and raised their children, and they were respectful. And now they're not anymore. And this is what's going on while we're having all this black-on-black crime. You say, well, that sounds racist. I'm not being racist. I'm pointing out the fact what's going on. And the same thing's happening with the whites. The whites have been on generational welfare also, and the same thing's happened to them. They've stopped going to church, and we've had this constant degradation in societal norms. That's the same thing that's happening all over the United States. Whenever you give free money out for having children out of wedlock, and you continue to do it for decades upon decades upon decades, this is what you get. This is not okay. The Bible tells us that if we don't work, we don't eat. Now, I believe there should be a provision made for the poor, and for the people that have been injured, or the infirmed, or for the widows, and for the orphans. I believe all of those should be taken care of through the church. But this constant welfare money to all of these groups over and over and over, black, white, Hispanic, make one bit of difference. It doesn't help the culture, and it doesn't help the overall standard of living in the United States, also, not one bit. What do you think?
Wow, that was very well said, and that was very well put, and you're exactly right, because they've even shown now in Chicago that majority of the shootings are completely senseless shootings. They're usually just retribution or gang-on-gang drive-by shootings on a regular basis. It's not a defensive maneuver. It's not somebody trying to mug you and they get shot in a mugging. It's completely and totally senseless violence, and that goes exactly what you just said, is when you start having the morals and ethics decay of a society and you have no legitimate purpose on what goals and what directions you're going to start pursuing in your life, because essentially for the last 2, 3, 4 generations, you get free everything as much as you want, whenever you want it. You have no incentives to really pursue a lot of stuff. And that's what we've constantly seen now. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse, especially in areas like Chicago. And yes, it's very, very sad that it's gotten to this point. But I do not think we need the UN in there, as they're still trying to scream now for up in Chicago. So we'll continue to keep monitoring that situation as well.
Also, final story for me for the day. Saudi princess reveals the elites that they participate in sex and sex slavery with underage girls. I spoke to a good friend of mine. She's a missionary out of the Philippines and out of Thailand, out of Cambodia. And she was an attorney for years and years and years. I spoke to her yesterday. And she said the child trafficking is so bad in the Philippines and in Thailand that they'll go to these poor villages out in the middle of nowhere. And they'll come in and they'll say, we're going to give you $300 for your daughter. We're going to have her work in a hotel, or we're going to have her work on a certain place, or we've got a job for her, and we're going to go ahead and get her out of this poverty she's in, and we'll pay you, the family, $300. And little do they know, they're selling that girl into sex slavery. That's what they're doing. They're selling the girl like a slave into the sex slave market. I talked to the lady about this, my attorney friend, her name is Terry. I talked to her about this yesterday in detail. And she got us all over the fact. In fact, from Pastor Mark Rutland with Global Servants, he talks about this. I told you the story. He's in Thailand, and somebody knocks on his door at his hotel room at like 10 o'clock at night with a little 8-year-old girl. And the guy goes, she's a certified virgin. I want you to know you can have her for $300. And basically, you know, this is what it's going to cost for her to spend the night with you. And the guy, Rutland says, what are you, nuts? This is not right. I'm calling the police on you. He goes, you go ahead and call the police on me. He goes, before the police get her, I'll have her sold to somebody else on the same floor for $300.
the police work with us. We are basically involved with the police, and we pay off the police. This is what we do here in Thailand. We sell our children for sex. This is the kind of stuff that's going on an ongoing basis all over the world. This is from the article that was from G. Edward Griffin put out, and it says that Saudi Arabia Prince Walid, his wife, Princess Adiyan, confided the French newspaper Le Monde that the ruling house of Saud secretly engages in sexual slavery, in addition to buying or renting children for sex from impoverished areas of Bangladesh, the Philippines, Somalia, Nigeria, or Bulgaria. Prince Adin is the ex-wife of the Saudi Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, who recently was arrested in the anti-corruption purges in the country. She said those who accuse others of corruption and money laundering are in fact highly corrupted themselves, and this is what these guys do. This is what they teach their protégés to do. If they're doing something they shouldn't ought to do, they immediately start blaming the person who's running or trying to expose them for doing the very same thing that they're being accused of doing, though they're not doing it. They're the ones that are basically accusing the other people of doing it. I mean, that makes no sense. I'll say it again. The person who's innocent is being accused of what the person who was accusing them is of doing, so they can try to confuse the narrative. This happens all the time. This is right out of the Rules for Radicals playbook. This is what these guys have done, and they will continue to do. I mean, $700,000 paid for people to say they had sex with Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? He's a billionaire. When does he have to pay to have sex with women if he's not going to be in a Christian mindset? When is that going to happen? Not going to happen. Bill Clinton is the one who went around and raped and did all of these horrible things to these women on an ongoing basis, and that is proven by testimony in court and have him paying settlements. So, guys, this is what these guys do. So don't let them play this shell game with you and try to push it on other people. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us, your B-complex from us, your vitamin C, your D3, your K2, your iodine. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much for your prayers. I love you. I appreciate you, Austin. I'll do the write-up, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, man. Yes, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for the support and all the emails we get from you guys on a regular basis. It's really great to hear from you guys, especially in a positive manner. It's fantastic to touch base with our customers on a regular basis. So we thank you for that support, and thank you for getting your multivitamins through us, whether it's the chewable or the capsules or the powder. It definitely helps us out with keeping the show funded on a regular basis for you guys. So we appreciate everything. Be sure to check out everything we have on the front page of the website, the new Eat Clean and Be Healthy book, including the product of the week as well, which is the Ultimate Immune Booster. That's our broccoli seed extract formula. That's an incredibly good formula. If you want to read about it more, you can read about it at healthmasters.com, on sale now for over 10% off. So we appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, call us 1-800-726-1834. You have a blessed, safe, amazing, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.